Well, Cindy Carey is in the studio with us this morning. You may know Cindy as the coordinator of both the HealthLink program, that's our sister program, and she coordinates the Stop Smoking for Good and for Free program, Smoking Cessation. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning.
Cindy, I understand your Smoking Cessation program has taken on a life of its own.
Actually, it has, and it's related to the increase in the cigarette tax, I believe.
Really? And what gives you that indication?
Well, we took a look at the statistics across the state, and when we counted up the number of calls that were made to the New York State Smokers Quit Line the week that the tax was imposed, which was the week of June 3rd, we noticed that we had just under 10,000 calls, which when compared to last year at that time, there were only about 2,300 calls.
Oh my gosh, that's more than four times as many.
Right. And if you take a look at the statistics, about 70% of all smokers want to quit on any given day at any given time. So there's a fair number of people that are really looking to quit. So if we give them some reason, especially in the pocketbook,
right,
it tends to make them a little more motivated to quit.
Well, you know, we hear about people talking about, well, I know I need to quit smoking and, you know, I'm going to quit smoking for my health. But your findings seem to say that it's not about the health of the body, it's the health of the pocketbook.
For the first time, I would say I'm starting to hear more and more, and I think it's a combination of situations. You know, both on campus and across the state, I'm seeing increases in calls to have some help quitting and to inquire about options. In the program, we talk a lot about behavioral issues and how we can help you change your coping skills, really, because this is a behavior change that we're looking to accomplish. But again, when you couple that with the financial aspects and the increased gas prices and just increased cost of living across the board, this is really a great time for a lot of people to explore their motivation to quit.
To quit, you know, and that's the truth. It's sort of like the perfect storm of gas prices and the taxes going up. And of course, we recently heard Governor Patterson talking about tightening the belt here in New York State. It's really beginning to have an impact. Smoking, if you can get past it, if for a smoker, is going to be a way of saving some money.
Absolutely. And the benefits of quitting are almost immediate. Within 20 minutes of quitting, you can see a decrease in heart rate, a decrease in blood pressure. And a lot of times in class, I'll talk to people about carbon monoxide exposure.
Mm.
And oftentimes they'll know it's colorless, odorless, deadly gas, but they're not aware of it being in cigarette smoke. And that can really impact oxygen levels overall, which can impact their fatigue levels. And within 2 days, we can see a reversal of that. So their oxygen level goes up, they see more energy, they're feeling more rested, and there's fairly immediate benefits to a very short-term amount of time in the scheme of things.
You know, I find a little bit of irony to know that the benefits for the individual who smokes are instant like that. I mean, every benefit in the world to quitting smoking. The reason the tax was raised in New York State was to help pay for the health benefits. And of course, now if people aren't buying the cigarettes, then the income is going to go down. There's some irony, but for the individual, it's absolutely the right choice, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Talk to me a little bit about exactly what the program is, because you have like hundreds of people that go through this program each year.
Right. Our program is 6 weeks. It's 1 hour.
Each
week we meet 1 hour. The third week we meet twice that week because that's the week that the group would quit. And then we come back 2 days later to kind of reinforce what's working, you know, evaluate what's not working. And a lot of times people will comment that that's the one piece that they haven't tried in the past. And it really does help with the overall quit process, because oftentimes as smokers, they feel as if they're the only person on the planet who smokes.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they quit, they look around and think, wow, where were all these people when I was smoking?
Well, you know, you just told me something I didn't know. I would have assumed if I was going to sign up for a stop smoking program that the minute I walked through the door of the first class, I was going to stop smoking, and maybe I'm not prepared to do that. So are you saying the first couple of classes prepare me to quit?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yes.
Tell me more.
Well, I'm
not a smoker, but tell me more if I was.
The first class is actually spent on kind of an education, and I always approach it from this is probably the most boring part of the class, but you need to know what is available, how to use the medication correctly. Some medications need to be started, you know, 10 days or so before you actually quit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to know that piece so that we can all plan this and, again, be in this kind of group setup where you can do it together.
And I remember you talking about the medication you're using. This is something that people can take to help them quit.
There's, several different medications. And what we're finding, and we follow the clinical practice guidelines, and they're recently just rewritten to say combination therapy seems to be the best approach to this. So using more than one, either nicotine replacement therapy or behavioral counseling, options like that. And those kinds of things seem to work well together for people. And I really believe, and I've seen in practice, that the way that this works best for people is to keep trying until they find what combination is going to work for them. Mm-hmm. And it may not be the same one for each person.
And they don't have to quit immediately.
Right.
Step in the right direction.
That's absolutely right. And I talk to people about decisional balance and how we think when we change behaviors and reaching somebody and helping them understand that even though they may not have quit or they feel that they failed because they slipped after the quit day, you know, we take a look at, okay, what didn't work and, mm-hmm. and what did work. And it's a building stone for the next time that they're in that situation.
Absolutely.
So it's a lot of support. And, you know, again, we're learning new coping skills, managing stress. There's a lot of education about how stress, the physical symptoms of stress, are very similar to nicotine withdrawal symptoms.
Really? Interesting. When does the next program begin?
The next program starts August 25th. That will be at Shoppingtown Mall.
All right.
And then we have two slated to start in September, one in Liverpool at the library on Tulip Street, and the other one at the Liverpool YMCA, and that'll be an evening program.
Excellent. And people can sign up by?
Calling Health Connections at 464-8668.
That's great. You know, the program is free to attendees, but somebody must be paying for it.
Actually, yes. The program is sponsored by the Upstate Advocates. So we're able to offer this program to the community at no charge.
That's excellent. Very good. Well, Cindy Carey from the Smoking Cessation Program, but also coordinator for HealthLinks, thanks so much for coming by this morning.
You're welcome.
Hi, I'm psychologist Dr. Rich O'Neill with this week's checkup from the neck up. From humdrum, same old, to Olympic living. Good morning, dear listeners. I love watching Olympians do the amazing. Did you see Michael Phelps and his three fellow American swimmers the other day? The announcer saying, there's no way they can beat the French team. And the French saying, they'll trash the Americans. And Michael and company digging way down deep. And with the very last stroke to the wall, yanking that gold from those French fingers. Wow. How do we mere mortals take that heart-thumping inspiration and apply it to our lives? Well, while we may not be doing our thing in the aquatic cube or the bird's nest stadium, the same checkup from the neck up principles apply. For you psychology purists out there, they're called the stages of change. Stage numero un. Unhook from the humdrum bzzz of our daily do this, do that. And here our unhappiness is useful. Pay attention to our grumpies, and instead of blaming the outside world or the people around us and living in the powerless, whiny, woe-is-me position, get specific about what we don't like and use that grumpy knowledge to goose ourselves to stage two. Numero deux, dream the dream. Let the hairy coconut drift and discover, percolate and produce, cogitate and connect. Connect our thinking with our feeling, our words and our music. Let them bubble up together and discover, I wanna do this. And numero trois, connect the dots from I wanna to our challenging but realistic goal with our specific strategy, our personal plan. Gather our time, energy, money, support from our fam and friends, and commit. And then, numero quatre, do the do. The Olympics may come only once every 4 years, but we get to show our stuff every day. And if we lose, no. When we lose, learn from losing. Don't bother wasting time telling ourselves what total failures we are. Well, of course, that's true for all of us whenever we come up short. We can think of ourselves as total, complete, utter, despicable failures, especially if we happen to be French swimmers. But beating ourselves up doesn't help us to get to our goal. And anyway, it's been done before, probably by folks much better at it than us. So why bother? We can't get the medal. Just jump back in the pool and get back at it. So the final formula for our own Olympic triumph, unhook, dream, plan, and charge. See you on the medal stand. singing our personal national anthem. Here we go. Da 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 da. Wait a minute. That's not right. I'm messing up already. I'm such a bad singer. That sounded like the French national anthem. Let me try again. Oh, say, can you see? Ah, yes, much better. Well, mes amis, how's that for Olympic-sized obnoxiousness? I'm Dr. Rich O'Neill. Thanks for listening.